Joe Rexroad from TheAthletic.com. He's on the radio each morning in Nashville on 102.5 The Game. I imagine a caffeinated Joe Rexroad. Is that correct, Joe? Good afternoon.
Yeah, actually, I'm drinking water now because I think I may have, like, overdone it with the caffeine.
Okay.
So I'm trying to balance
smart.
Out a little bit. And the caffeine, at some point, it just, like, doesn't work anymore, basically,
right.
And that's kind of where I am.
Yeah, well, I understand. we'll work our way back in time, and I bring that up because Heather and I were talking about Saturday night's game was actually incredibly late, and then you had last night's game, Titans, Bills, quite a win. What a win for the Titans. What did you take out of that game last night?
Yeah, well, first of all, real quick on that, I was the last person out of the Neyland Stadium press box at 4 a.m. Saturday. I was next to last at 3:20 a.m. last night, which tells you that I work too slowly, but also that there was a ton to write about. And it just, I mean, last night at one point, I was just like, holy cow, what a 48 hours, like sidestepping, you know, dip. Spit bottles Saturday night, and then that game last night, which was, I think, probably one of the better games Nissan Stadium has seen. The Titans, of course, score the last 10 points. There's 8 lead changes in the game. You got the Derrick Henry 76-yard TD, and then Jeffrey Simmons with just the massive fourth and inches stop of Josh Allen. So, the Titans a little bit of a statement. It's kind of what they do under Mike Vrabel. They often rise up, especially when no one thinks they're going to beat a team. Some people thought the Bills are the best team in the league. They got to still figure out a way to not lose to the Jets. But I think you saw last night how good this team could be.
So I think you're right, because that's a quality win, and you saw the defense come up big. But what about the conversation around Derrick Henry? Can he sustain the level of play that he is playing at currently, and should we be talking more about him for MVP right now?
Well, from the second part, Heather, absolutely. I don't see how anybody in the NFL can have a credible MVP conversation right now and not mention him very early in that conversation. And yes, there's probably a little, it's not supposed to work this way, but there's probably a little bit of a carryover effect there with the guy who just ran for 2,000 and now is on pace for 2,200. I mean, no one has even followed up a 2,000 with 1,500 ever. And he's, again, on pace for 22-19 and 28 touchdowns. It's ridiculous. And as far as sustaining it, I mean, until he does it, then I'm just going to believe he can, because he's just in better shape, faster, stronger, bigger, like, than everybody else. Like, last night, that touchdown run, it actually made me think I was, for a moment there, watching, like, one of those youth football games where, you know, like, there's one kid who's just sweet and way better than all the other kids, and he just runs for touchdowns, and nobody can catch him. I mean, he's just blowing safeties off the field. You know, it's ridiculous. And then he gets the tough yardage as well. So I don't think you can talk enough about this guy, and I hope people are appreciating this who are following along with this, because it really is special.
Joe Rexroad is with us from The Athletic. And then there was the Tennessee Vols game on Saturday night. And it was a special environment at kickoff, right, and for a lot of that game. But there was also the ending, which you witnessed from the field. What did you take out of Saturday night, especially now that we're a few days removed? Where is your head at still in terms of what you think about from Tennessee Ole Miss?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I'm guessing it was about 100,000 people in there did the same thing, which was kind of shake their heads and say, please stop doing this stuff, you know, which is very unfair. So, like, I don't think the entire fan base, but the bottom line is there, it's just another thing that's going to be remembered. And unfortunately, I heard Josh Heupel and Danny White both say this. They said it's one of the greatest. I think they're exaggerating, but I mean, that's Neyland Stadium. When you've got excitement around this team, and, you know, the team deserved better, too. They played such a, you know, a flawed game, but such a dogged game. I thought the defense, I mean, you tell me Tennessee's going to hold Ole Miss at 31, and I would say Tennessee would take that 10 out of 10 times, you know. It didn't work out. But unfortunately, all that stuff, I mean, what's going to be remembered 10, 20 years from now is the stuff at the end. I mean, fair or not, that's just reality. So, I think, you know, one thing that I think bothers me sometimes, and it's not just like with Tennessee or anything, but just when stuff like this happens, it's like the rush to like defend and get mad at like national media and stuff. Whereas like I say, get mad at like the source of this. You know, who knows? Maybe it doesn't happen next time. But look, Tennessee is going to get this fine. It's not a big deal. They'll move forward from this. Really was a great story in the making, and I don't even know what we if that Joe Milton pass had been caught by Cedric Tillman, like what would the conversation this week be? I've thought about that. Like one thing, I think Lane Kiffin's presser would have been very different. He was, you know, he was able to kind of laugh it all off because he got the win. But what if he didn't? You know, I mean, there's a lot of it would be very interesting. But I still take away. Look, it was an encouraging performance, a disappointing loss. You see the power of this fan base, mostly power for good. And, you know, you just got to try to move forward from the bad.
Joe, where's your optimism for this Tennessee team reaching 7-5 for their record this season? And then what would you say is your biggest concern for Tennessee in the short term versus Alabama and for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Hendon Hooker on the second one, Heather. I mean, I don't see – I mean, look, I don't like Tennessee's chances to win the game, but I'd be very interested to see this offense at peak performance with Hendon Hooker at peak performance against that defense. I think you'd see points on the board. You know, even if he is able to go, is he really going to be the same run threat? I mean, that didn't look good, him coming off the field Saturday. So that's the concern as far as – the possibility of 7 wins, I mean, it's a Kentucky game to me. You know, it's the November 6th Kentucky game. Obviously, the history, even when Kentucky's been good, you know, Tennessee has a very good history against Kentucky. And I almost feel like, you know, is it better? Could Hendon Hooker be a lot more effective with this week of rest? You know, and then you have a bye, and then you have him for that Kentucky game? Because that, to me, is the gettable game of these brutal trio ahead. And I do think it's possible. I think Tennessee, again, with that offense, I think short of Georgia, can put up points on anyone.
Hey, Joe, before you go, Joe Rexrode, The Athletic, so much of what happened at the end of the game has been the conversation, and you mentioned there what Tennessee was able to do against Ole Miss's offense. Tim Banks, what have you thought about just the performance coming in as a defense coordinator with a lot to prove, with an offense that can sometimes make things more difficult on the defense and the way that they've responded this year?
Yeah, a tremendous job. And Rodney Garner, too, you know, with the D-line. I think there's one area. My goodness, the D-line coaching is better this year than last year, right?
I'd argue that, yep. Yeah.
<doubt about that. laughs> But, no, I think he's done a tremendous job. They rarely have, like, the big bust, but they play so fast. You know, so it seems like it's simple, but obviously they're mixing up coverages and things. They're doing different things. They're bringing pressures. They just, you know, the players seem to know what to do, and they seem to be doing it quickly. And that's such a key to defense, like a half second, a fraction of a second, you know, of just of going versus, oh, I'm thinking it through. What do I do here? And that to me is a reflection of good coaching. So I just think you think about some of the players. There's a lot of guys on this defense who are overachieving relative to individual expectations from the outside, and then collectively it's definitely overachieving. So, you know, again, there's a lot of things that, you know, you have an Alabama game, you got a Georgia game that, you know, may not look great. I mean, but I'm interested to see how they compete still in those games. I mean, even the other night, and granted, I would have liked to have seen, I guess, a little bit better adjustment to the 3rd and 11 QB draws for 15 yards. But even with all that Matt Corral was doing, they just kept coming and kept coming. And I've been very impressed and didn't expect to be impressed by this defense. And to your point, Josh, we thought this offense was such a detriment to defense. It seems to be a pretty good compliment.
Yep, it has been. TheAthletic.com, Joe, I know there's plenty for people to check out right now with all the football coverage.
Yes, absolutely. And more on the Vols and the Titans and Oh, poor Vandy, but, you know, that's how it goes.
Yep. Hey,
thanks.
Joe, go get some rest. You've earned it. We appreciate the time, as always. Thanks for working us in, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thanks for switching the time. I appreciate it, guys.